The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Have you ever been asked the question, what is your favorite food? Well, for someone who adores food and loves to try anything and everything, I can't really answer that question. But what I can say is that one of my favorite things to eat are noodles. So let me take you on a journey where we discover familiar and unique noodle dishes from around the world. So sit back and relax, because it's noodle time! Hello guys, and welcome back to another episode of Noodle Time. And let's start off with a question. I've talked a lot about noodles, and there's so many different noodle dishes out there from many different cultures and many different backgrounds. But where do noodles originate from? And since there's so many cultures and there's so many different cuisines that make unique and special dishes, you can't really pick a specific cuisine that originated noodles. But the biggest history of noodles throughout the world, it has to be China. There are so many different renditions, there's so many different variations and styles of noodles and different ways to make different style dishes. You could do stir-fried noodles, you could do noodles in a soup, you could do noodles in a sauce in Chinese cuisine. There's so many endless possibilities that you could look into when you're making Chinese noodle dishes. And according to a YouTube video that I watched recently about Chinese noodle dishes, it was by migrationology.com, and the host name was Mark Weens, and he mentioned that Chinese noodles has the longest history out of any culture in producing noodle dishes. And that is supported by the amount of different styles of noodles there are. You got knife cut noodles, which you take a big block of dough and chefs, they take their big cleaver and they put it at a really fine angle and they just slice the pieces of dough and it looks very robust, but it resembles a noodle. You just slice the pieces of noodles very thinly and very fast, and it typically goes straight into boiling water. You also got hand-pulled noodles, which is a very technical process that I will go more into later. And you got many other different styles of Chinese noodles that are used primarily in Chinese cuisine, but because of the long history, it is being used all over the world. All right, so this next noodle dish that we're gonna be talking about is a dish that, in its Chinese name, the meaning of the Chinese characters gives the dish its name. And the name of the dish is called biang biang noodles. And the characters biang, it resembles the sound bang. So biang biang, it just means bang bang noodles. And that's the sound that the noodles make when they are being hand stretched. And that brings me into hand stretched noodles. And it's really technical process. And it's a type of noodle where if you mess up, you're at risk of discarding the whole entire dough and you have to restart the process, which is a very challenging and it could be very frustrating. It could be a very frustrating experience. And the first step for making hand-pulled noodles is you want to use a really good and pliable dough. And many Chinese chefs and many other Asian cuisines that make noodles, they typically just use flat hot water and flour. And this combination of the hot water and the wheat flour allows the gluten in the flour to become more pliable. And that's why things like noodles can be handmade, and things like dumplings can be handmade as well. And so when we're hand pulling noodles, you want to portion out your dough into equal pieces of dough that is not too small and it's not too big. Because if it's too small, you will not produce enough noodles. And if it's too big, the noodles are at a very high risk of breaking. Because the heavier the dough is, gravity is going to pull down the noodles when it's being stretched. And if it's too heavy, it might break. And so you want to get the optimal amount of dough when hand stretching it. And so you take your dough and you just stretch it all the way out, and then you bang it on the table or any countertop that you have, and then you separate the noodles, and then you kind of do this technique where you turn the dough from two pieces of noodles and then it goes to four. And then after that, you keep stretching it until it exponentially moves up the amount of noodles. The amount of noodles are exponentially moving up, and it's getting thinner and thinner the more times you pull and stretch and bang the noodles. It's a really interesting process just to watch. And I'm sure, because I've never done it before, I'm sure it's one of the hardest arts to master in cuisine overall. But besides the fact that Byangbyang Noodles uses this technique of hand-pulled noodles, we also have to talk about the toppings. And the main toppings for Byangbyang Noodles is chili oil. And chili oil is also a really popular sauce that is used, or a topping that is used in Chinese cuisine. You just take chili flakes and any neutral tasting oil, like canola, like grapeseed, like peanut oil, and you just fry it in the chili. And then after that, you could either drain the oil in using a strainer, or you could keep the chilies in the oil, and you can also eat the chilies as well. And it creates a rich and really potent flavor that it's really distinct. It's a little bit spicy, it's sometimes sweet, and it could be nutty, because you could also add peanuts as well to chili oil. And so yeah, that is something that is typically used in Byangbyang noodles. It's mainly used as a chili sauce, and then you can also add toppings like green onions, cucumbers, anything fresh, just to add a little bit of texture to the dish. Okay, so this next dish that we're gonna be talking about is a dish that really hits home with not only me, but with the whole history of Chinese cuisine. Tomato and eggs have been a really big staple in Chinese cuisine. And surprisingly, it's also been a staple in my life. In Chinese cuisine, everyone there likes to use ingredients that are pretty accessible, and they like to be resourceful with their ingredients. And so using really accessible ingredients like tomatoes and like eggs that could be easily purchased anywhere, it's something that is really easy to make, but it tastes so good. And the process of stir-frying tomato and eggs and then adding the noodles, it's very simple compared to the last section where we talked about the process of hand-pulling noodles and having the risk of breaking the noodles. We don't have to worry about all of that. All we have to do is just take some tomatoes, chop them up, dice them up. We have to take some eggs, scramble them. We could do whatever we want with them. We can make them sunny side and then scramble them later. And then we take some fresh wheat noodles. And so what you do is you stir fry the tomatoes first, and then you add in the eggs, and then you mix that all together, and you can add basic seasonings like salt and pepper. But a really popular seasoning to use in Chinese cuisine is MSG. And a lot of you may have this misconception that MSG is bad for you. It is a flavoring component that is mainly used to enhance the six flavor sense, which is umami. But according to an article that I read from the Stanford University regarding the dangers of MSG, it says that in the past, there was another research article that was put out in place that said that MSG is something that is really bad for you. It could cause headaches, it could cause fatigue, and just very unpleasant side effects. But there was another recent study, the one that I read from Stanford, and it said that MSG could be used in the same moderation as salt. And if it doesn't exceed that margin, then it's not bad for you. So if we just use the same amount of MSG as if we're using salt, then it shouldn't harm humans. And that brings me back to the dish. Using MSG brings out the flavor of the eggs, and also brings out the flavor of the tomato. And when you stir it up with the noodles, it creates this really rich sauce that's formed from the liquid from the tomatoes and the creaminess from the eggs. And it kind of makes its own creamy sauce that encoats every single strand of noodle. And you also have the umami from the MSG, a little bit of saltiness from the salt, and then there you can add as many seasonings as you would like. It's a really versatile dish that just tastes amazing. All right, before I run out of time, there's this last dish from Chinese cuisine that also hits home with me because it is such a hearty dish that when the first time I tried this noodle dish, it was a really breathtaking experience. I was lost for words at how rich the flavors were of this dish. And the dish is known as beef noodle soup. And this dish gets its origin from Chinese roots, but it's mainly popular in Taiwan. But it is a Chinese-based dish. And something about these noodles are pretty interesting. When they stretch these noodles, they usually don't cut them. And that takes into a culture factor that I haven't really talked about in this episode, and that's the idea of longevity. And in Chinese culture, there's this idea where when you don't cut noodles, and the longer the noodles, the more longer you'll live. And that gives the sense of longevity. And that's why most noodle dishes in Chinese cuisines, they try to keep the noodles pretty long, just to represent longevity. And this dish is really hearty. It has braised beef, it has stretched very long noodles, and it also has a really rich beef broth. And yeah, I just really wanted to get that idea of longevity before I ended off this episode of Noodle Time. But in the next episode, we're not going to stop talking about Chinese cuisine. We're going to be still talking about Chinese cuisine, but we're going to be talking about dishes that were influenced by the Chinese culture. Thank you guys so much for watching. This was Noodle Time, and I'm your Noodle Guy.